This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A big deal for a dangerous product. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. A $47 billion deal could create the world's largest publicly traded tobacco company. British American Tobacco has an offer on the table to buy Reynolds American, which it already has a stake in, that would put Camel, Dunhill, and Newport under one roof. The BBC's Russell Padmore joins us from London to talk about this. Russell, Reynolds was at the center of the big merger and leveraged buyout waves of the 1980s, Barbarians at the Gate, classic business book. Things are very different now. What's the thinking behind this potential deal?
BAT is looking at the fact that it's based in the UK. The British pound is falling significantly against the US dollar. Maybe now is the time to get into the American market. Reynolds, of course, a lot of analysts here are saying this could be a premium of $8 billion to the value of the company right now. So it seems a good move. Both companies can explore both parts of each other's businesses. Particularly, Reynolds would get access to BAT's presence in parts of Asia and Africa. It's these developing or emerging markets where more people are starting to smoke.
So the tobacco industry, it's a strange business. This is a controversial, deadly product, and the industry is changing a lot. What's going on there?
Global consumption of tobacco is actually on the rise, particularly in the poorer countries in the world. And this is probably what both of these companies are going to target. Also, you have to look at new technology, new developments in the tobacco industry, so-called vaping. This is another development of the production of tobacco that both companies will also want to explore. Worldwide, according to the World Health Organization, smoking still kills 6 million people every year. But nevertheless, the shareholders in both companies will be thinking just purely of the profit.
Okay, the BBC's Russell Padmore. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are a mixed bag around the world. In the UK, shares are up 0.3%. In Germany, stocks are up 0.1%. Asian markets were down as a typhoon and earthquake activity in the region disrupted trading. New numbers this week point to some major bright spots in the housing market. Construction of single-family homes is surging, and home sales are up 3.2%. From the Marketplace Bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports on the surprising buyers behind some of those numbers.
Investors are buying an increasing share of single-family homes, looking to rent them out. Darren Bloomquist at Adam Data Solutions says one in four homes is now renter-occupied, and that percentage has been going up as home ownership falls.
The hotspots where we're seeing a lot of these single-family homes being purchased as rentals, they are more suburban in nature.
Places like Atlanta, Birmingham, Charlotte, suburban Maryland, where middle-class people have aspired to own in previous generations, but
either they can't afford to buy or they just have given up on home ownership and would prefer to be renters but still want that type of suburban lifestyle.
Kristen Reynolds at economic forecaster IHS says consumers face a squeeze.
Home prices have been increasing relatively quickly, but rents have been increasing more quickly. So that makes it harder to save a down payment.
And makes it very profitable for investors to buy up homes and watch the rent checks roll in. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Various things may come to mind when people think of North Dakota, from prairie landscapes to murderous Coen brothers tales. But it's little known that the state is by far America's leading honey producer. North Dakota's bees also help pollinate crops in other states during the winter. But researchers worry that bees in the region are in big trouble. Marketplace's Annie Baxter takes us there.
Mark Sperry has been a commercial beekeeper in North Dakota for 25 years, so swarming bees do not bother him. Me, on the other hand, total panic.
One's coming around me.
You're safe in your suit.
Cue the nervous laughter. When I finally calm down, Sperry tells me that North Dakota's a hub for commercial beekeeping, and he's seeing more out-of-town beekeepers summer there. States farther west are suffering from drought, and in parts of the Midwest...
What once was pretty decent honey production country no longer is, because the landscape has changed to intensively farmed corn and soybeans, which doesn't provide a lot for honeybees.
Research ecologist Clint Otto says states like North and South Dakota are part of America's last bee refuge.
Because there's still uncultivated land left.
But Otto is worried that refuge is under threat. In his work for the U.S. Geological Survey, he studied land use changes around commercial beehives in the Dakotas from 2006 to 2014, and he found grassland areas that are good for bees are shrinking.
And what's becoming more common is corn and soybeans.
Those crops don't just cut into bees' forage options. They bring other stressors, like pesticides. Some research suggests a particular class of them called neonicotinoids harm pollinators.
Neonicotinoids have become a big issue in the literature.
Beekeeper Mark Sperry doesn't like these changes either. He keeps hives at 35 different locations around his house in Kindred, North Dakota. And he used to travel 30 miles at most to find spots with good forage options like alfalfa or clover for his bees. But now...
You know, my most distant bee locations are probably 50 miles away from here. So,
Oh, wow. So
travel time in that situation adds up.
Still, it's not all doom and gloom. Sperry says commercial production of sunflowers has increased near him, which helps his bees' health and honey production. In Kindred, North Dakota, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And finally, a new government survey shows a drop in the number of Americans who don't have access to mainstream checking and savings accounts. The FDIC says only 7% of Americans are now what's called unbanked. A stronger economy seems to be behind this changing trend. Those who don't have bank accounts may rely on check cashers and prepaid cards, which often charge big fees that can eat into people's income. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.